Hello, and welcome to Music Buddy. My name's Jane Gowan, and I'm your host. My guest today is my good pal, Blair Deptuk. He's a guitarist, songwriter, and lead singer of the band New Driver. Blair was a guest on the original Music Buddy that I created on Instagram Live during the pandemic, so it's great to get another chance to talk to him, but this time in person at the Woodshed Studio. Blair and I originally met when we both attended the Vancouver Community College music program. We've been friends ever since. Blair is one of those people who's always 100% on board for any kind of musical adventure, whether that's sharing a bill at a local venue, touring the country, or just jamming in a basement. Okay, well, we've never toured the country together, but we'll work on that. Blair's always been one of those people that seems kind of invincible. His endless energy and admirable work ethic have built him a wonderful life, raising a beautiful family, running his own contracting company, and, of course, being a rock and roller. But as we all know, life can throw you curveballs. And in 2016, his world was turned upside down by a brain aneurysm that resulted in an intense surgical process and a long recovery. You know, some people might be wary of returning to their regular schedule after such an ordeal, and that's understandable. But Blair's sense of responsibility to his family and his unstoppable musical drive found him returning to the job site, the stage, and the recording studio. So despite this life-changing event, Blair's desire to make music has stayed strong, and his sense of humor and appreciation of those around him remain firmly intact. Blair and his family live in Nanaimo, BC, on beautiful Vancouver Island. This past May, they were planning a trip to Toronto, so it seemed like the perfect opportunity to get him on the show. On the day of the session, he, his wife Arlene, and their two daughters, Sarah and Lisa, showed up for what was a super fun afternoon. It was the first time we've ever really had any kind of audience for one of our sessions. So thank you to the whole Deptuk gang for being there. Throughout the episode, you'll hear clips from music by New Driver. You can learn more about the band at newdriverband.com. At the end of the episode, you'll be treated to a Music Buddy session recording of Blair's beautiful song, Plans. If you enjoy the podcast, please let us know by commenting on our social media or sending an email to jane@musicbuddy.ca. It means a lot to hear from you, and it motivates me to make this show better and better. Also, if you've got some spare change lying around, please consider a donation. We're proudly listener-supported and ad-free. You can donate at musicbuddy.ca/donate. Thank you to our recent and generous donor who chooses to remain anonymous. So, instead of saying their name, I'll just do a little dance. Okay, on with the show. Please enjoy my conversation with my friend, Blair Deptuk.
It's all feeling, it's all love. It's all connection, that human stuff. So tell me where you're coming.
Blair Deptuk.
Hey.
Welcome to Toronto.
Oh, thank you.
It's great to see you guys. And you're here with your beautiful wife, Arlene, your lovely daughters, Sarah and Lisa, not necessarily in that order. So welcome to the Woodshed.
This is very cool.
I find I say this a lot on this podcast. I say the words sometime in the 90s,
but yeah,
I think our friendship started sometime in the 90s, and we became friends at Vancouver Community College, where we both attended music school. Correct? Am I right on that?
Oh yeah, you're right. Yeah, we would have met through the nucleus friend, Larry Parra.
Exactly. Shout out to Larry. He gets a lot of shout outs on this podcast too. Well deserved. But I was curious. I don't think I ever asked you, what What made you decide to go to music school?
Yeah, I don't really recall other than just a hunger for to learn. And I thought that would be pretty cool to really dive into actually learning more about music theory, really. I think that's how it started.
Yeah.
And just give it a shot, you know?
And so were you already playing in bands at that point?
Yeah, I was playing in original bands and stuff. My goal was always to try and make a living playing music somehow, right, when I first started. And yeah, just, and I'd played in just with a few different people writing originals and trying to get that, all that off the ground too. And,
right.
And doing demos and, you know, just trying to get there, trying to write enough material and get the right people together to have a decent band. I mean, all I ever wanted to do was be in a band.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Still.
Right. Yeah. So did you play in cover bands back then too? Like, did you do the bar circuit kind of thing?
No, I didn't play the bar circuit
no.
or covers in Vancouver. No, just played wherever. Yeah. Yeah. No.
What was one of your main bands pre-music school? Do you remember the names of any of your bands back then?
Giant Chickens from Hell. That was right out of high school. Rock Bottom. That was like the first one. Out of high school. We just had terrible name after terrible name back then. And I moved to Vancouver right out of high school with the visions of playing music. And I right. went with a band that I had from Kelowna. We rented a house and just played in the basement all the time. Just always playing. That's all I cared about. Got a job as a dishwasher
did you?
Yeah. And we just lived in that house and played music. And that's kind of when I started trying to write songs, 2-3 years of doing that. And then went to VCC.
VCC must have been getting a reputation around then because they had a really good lineup of instructors and, you know, teachers and stuff too. So it was a really well-loved program. So it must have been, the word must have got out, right? So you went there and then, you know, you're saying you went there to mostly learn theory and stuff, which I'm sure you did. But was it a good decision for you? Like, are you glad you did it?
God, are you kidding? It was, I mean, first of all, I made friends that I still have to this day, you know, you, of course, included, that just are wonderful people. I mean, music aside. But to just immerse yourself in music for 2 solid years. I mean, your homework is to play the guitar, and I mean, that's crazy. That to me,
yeah.
You know. So yeah, it was a great experience.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard to face the past when all the good has gone so fast. Sometimes I see it going by. Words and a bit of feeling. Bit of feeling, and I'd hope for the most. We had high, high hopes, and in the weirdest way, it goes on again.
All right, so we all left music school, and then you hooked up with your now lovely wife, and then you tell me what happened between music school and then you eventually moved to Nanaimo, BC.
Yeah, well, I've found my lovely wife. We weren't married, but that was before music school. So
yeah
so we got married in 96. So
uh-huh. Oh wow.
And yeah, I know. Huh. I had a recording studio at my house at the time, which was pretty, very cool. So in the garage, I had a little recording studio in there and we used to rehearse in there and play and record demos and stuff like that.
But, right. Yeah, that was a great place.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah. So yeah. And then in 99, Sarah was born. So that changes things a little, you know.
Sarah looks thrilled by that fact. You were born though, Sarah. That was amazing.
And we just got to the point where we wanted to move out of that house and go somewhere else, and it was just not affordable to go into the city. That was after Lisa was born. Actually, she was born in the same house in 2001.
Shout out to Lisa.
Yeah. And we just got, you know, we were looking for a new place to go because mm-hmm. it was just too expensive. So
yeah,
we moved to Nanaimo because we love the island. We thought it looked, you know, it was beautiful over there, and there was a bit of a music scene, mm-hmm. not much, but a little bit at the time. And, just starting a new life, you know,
our exactly.
new, not a new life entirely,
but
just across the water from where we were. So it wasn't too bad,
but definitely a change.
Yeah, for sure.
And how did you find them? You said it was a sort of a music scene. How did you find it when you landed and got there and were trying to do gigs and that kind
of
thing?
Well, you know, and I was busy starting a business, a construction business to try and to make some money. I took about a 6-year break from playing music.
Did you really?
I was trying to think of how long it was. I think it was 6 years.
Yeah. Well, starting a business is a lot of work.
Life was happening. You know,
life
things,
was happening.
Things were going
kids.
On. And, yeah. and I mean, I still every now and then would pick up my guitar, but it was quite a while. But what happened actually was I met my writing partner now, Brent.
Brent Redberger?
Yeah.
Redberger?
And we were both kind of in that situation. He hadn't played for years and he was from Alberta and had played music when he was younger. And so, yeah, same thing. Kids were young. And so we just got together and started playing covers together again. It was kind of funny. That's where,
nice.
Where it seems to be the comfortable place to go, where you can, you know, just kind of open up to each other a little bit, you know,
well,
sit in the basement
like-
and play, you know, we were playing like the Odds in the basement, just the two of us, which is weird, but it's just songs we like, you know.
Yeah, if you like the same covers, chances are you're gonna, you know, be able to make good music together.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah, so it's funny, you know. It was just a good way to kind of get to know each other musically. And then there was a little club that opened. It was called the Blues Underground in Nanaimo. It was a really cool place right downtown, and it was underneath the Queen's, which is a bar, mm-hmm. the main bar in Nanaimo. And it was like an all ages blues jam, and it was definitely like a free for all. It was pretty funny, actually.
yeah,
you know. But so we would go there, and you know, poor Brent. I think he'd have to play bass all night because no one else played bass, right? So he would get stuck having to be there until the end. But it was all ages, so it was kind of like this vibe. It was just an open room and a stage in one end, and
nice,
and couches and stuff, and you know, no alcohol or anything. So it was just like an afternoon Sunday till 10 o'clock at the latest, sort of thing. And we would go down there all the time, and that just got us going again, just having fun again, just playing, and yeah.
But then you didn't start the new driver band, which is your current band.
Yeah.
On your bio, it says that started in 2020. Is that because you had the free speakers before and other bands, and then you changed the name? No,
that's just when we decided to finally record and
right.
do original stuff. Because after right. Brent and I played together for quite a while, just trying to find people to play with in there, and we connected with a drummer, Carl Nyquist, there who is quite into playing covers in the cover scene. And so we said, well, let's play covers. So we did that for quite a long time in Nanaimo, and there we played the circuit on the island, and that's really all we played
right.
for quite a lot. But along that time, I was kind of accumulating songs, that even some from way back, or just kind of kept them, or and still writing, and just always wanting to record them, and that's when we, in 2020, was actually when we did that finally.
Did you find when you started playing originals to the crowds that you know, that you had over there, were people receptive?
Oh man.
Or did they just want you to play covers?
Well, we kind of brought in our own crowd, honestly.
Yeah.
Cause I mean, we're lucky enough to have some friends and, you know, and my kids are old enough to go to the bar, so they're bringing their friends and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's awesome. Yeah. It's really cool.
Yeah. It makes a big difference.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, so when I saw you guys at the Railway Club in Vancouver recently,
yeah.
I think Sarah and Lisa had a big part to do with the the crowd vibe there.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Generally, you know, it's a funny thing. It's like any scene, I don't know, but the cover band thing is like you don't play originals, you play covers, or if you play originals, you have your spot, your showcase opening or something like that, mm-hmm. you know, for the headlining band that night or something like that. But I've noticed that since the pandemic, more original bands have come out and are playing like full nights at the Queen's. Like we were at the Queen's couple weeks ago, and there was four original bands for a sold out night on Friday night, which was awesome.
Okay, a quick trigger warning. I thought I'd let you all know that the next section might be difficult for some listeners if they've had experience with a traumatic head injury or they're squeamish about medical procedures and surgery and such. So you were working hard on the island, playing music. You had your contracting company, Copper Construction. Is it still called?
No, it's not. It's just Blair.
It's called Blair now. It's a one word. I like that. Blair, just Blair. But at the time it was called Copper Construction, right?
Copper West Contracting is what we were.
Pardon.
Yeah.
Copper West Contracting. And that was going pretty well. But then was it 2016 when you had an aneurysm?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that was,
everything.
Yeah.
Or a lot of stuff.
For sure, my perspective on a lot of things. I mean, I was pretty lucky through the whole thing. It was 2015, end of 2015. So we had a New Year's Eve gig. I had a headache. I didn't feel good. I went to the doctor and he said, sounds like you're getting the flu or something. And I thought, okay, I'll power through it, play the gig. So
you played the gig with the bad headache after seeing the doctor?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So it was like a pain behind my right eye and then. But he was like, oh, I'm coming down with something. So he said, you know, take an Advil and you'll be good. So I did. Yeah. I think I had a shot of tequila and some Advil and hit the stage for a night of covers.
Classic combo.
Yeah. And, you know, apparently I didn't play very well that night. I heard that I was off.
Gee, I wonder why.
Yeah. Yeah, not feeling good. And in fact, there was a balloon drop. It was because New Year's, you know, the countdown. And my only job, you know, pull the string for the balloons. And I just gapped out. I was just standing there. I remember Carl came out from behind the kit, and pulls the string, looks at me like, what are you doing, you idiot?
Really? Oh, no.
Yeah. And then I went home and slept a lot, like 14 hours or something. And I just kind of thought that. That's because it was New Year's Eve.
Right.
But, you know, Arlene, she knew something was not right with me for sure. And I still had this headache. There was this headache behind my eye. And so I think we went to the hospital and there was a doctor there and she said, you know, she booked me for an outpatient CT scan. So in a couple of weeks, I get a scan, right? Mm-hmm. So go home. So I went home again and that's when Arlene was really, she got on the phone with some friends that were nurses and stuff and just people. And she's like, no, you got to go back again. So we went back. And
Is it safe to say that Arlene is a go-getter, make things happen kind of woman?
when it needs to be done. Yeah, damn right.
If you need something done.
Yeah. If it's something to do with her family.
For sure.
She'll get her done.
She is a powerhouse of... Making it happen for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
okay,
I mean,
go on.
Yeah. So I went back and I think she insisted that I get a scan and then they got it back and the doctor says, I remember her talking to the two of us. She said, we found something. It's big. It's a mass. She says it's big. And it's like, this is a weird way to say that. It's like, okay, you know, and then the whole time I was quite, I wasn't feeling good. So I was kind of out of it, you know, but, anyhow, so she explained it looks like an aneurysm and behind my brain. So I learned about aneurysms
very quickly
So anyhow, so I think it's pretty safe to say that Arlene may very well have saved my life and by insisting on that, you know,
definitely
kudos to her.
She's just shrugging it off.
Yeah.
Little, even though she's a superhero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyhow, headache behind my eye. So don't ignore that.
No, don't ignore that.
So then they admitted me to the hospital and holy Moses, what a what a runaround that was. So they took me from Nanaimo to Victoria. Uh-huh. I remember because it was winter, it was January, and yeah, I remember they put me in the ambulance and then had to switch ambulances on the Malahat when it's snowing in the middle of the night. It's dark out, there's snow coming down, and being wheeled on a stretcher from one ambulance into another. It's bizarre, like, just, you know, after just playing a gig the other night or last night or whatever it was.
No kidding.
Anyhow, some time in Victoria, and then they said, well, it could thrombose, which means it just hardens. So like the aneurysm is it's from a weakened wall in the artery. So it bulges up like a hose. If it's got a weakened wall, you know, it'd be like a balloon that bulges up on the side. Mm-hmm. And it was starting to harden up. So, and that could happen. It could just stay like that. Mm-hmm. And then it'd be fine. So they decided, let's just watch it. Mm-hmm. But it also could rupture, and then that would be very bad.
Scary.
It'd bleed out on the brain and probably die. So,
you know, I just want to say right here, I really appreciate you talking through all this, because I know it can't be easy, and it might have been the first time you've had to talk about it in this public way. So I really I'm very thankful that you're talking me through this story, because I actually wasn't living there at the time. So
no, I guess you didn't get the whole of it. That's right.
Yeah. But at the same time, I know it must be kind of hard to just
talk for saying
through the experience again.
I mean, you said that, I'd also want to say that, you know, people have been through a lot worse than that. I mean, I was very lucky. Like, that's right. All I think about through the whole thing is how lucky I was, because not only was it detected ahead of time, like, but just the people around me, my family, my wife, my kids, my friends, and the access to medical care that, I mean, at, you know, all this happened. I think I paid for an ambulance, but that's about it through the whole process. Right.
Yeah. It's pretty incredible.
Just so fortunate, and people go through horrible things and don't have the access to help that I had. Right. So I'm just lucky. So when I talk about it, I just want people to know how fortunate I feel, and that I'm not, you know.
Right.
But anyways, so yeah, they said it could thrombose, could just stay that way. So the option is either to have a craniotomy, which apparently is the only way to get at it. So they cut your skin on your head open from your top of your head down to your ear, you know, and then pull it back, and they cut a piece of your skull out by your temple, like a little square there, and go in to the back of your head that way.
Yeah.
And then they can clip the aneurysm. So it's clipped off at the bottom of the balloon.
Right.
And then they drain it out and, you know, sew you back up, little tape sand and finish, and
put a little duct tape on there.
That's right. So that's the other option, right? So waiting. And so we went, he said, oh, I'll go home and wait, you know? So I went home and still a headache, and to the point where, you know, being nauseous and all this stuff. Eventually just said, just gotta go in there and get her done. So,
right.
Decided to have the craniotomy and
wow.
Yeah. And then, even at that, you know, my wife advocated to get me in there. She was really vocal on the phone and talking to people and just being amazing.
Yeah.
But I got it done in Vancouver, and it went as well as you could think.
Right.
And now every time I'm in the dentist chair, I think, this is nothing.
Yeah.
Exactly. I got out of there with that, you know, I think,
little
scraping on the teeth is nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like you had an amazing team. It was a VGH, Vancouver General Hospital.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's, again, it's crazy. Yeah. I mean, to have access to people like that, like this guy, Dr. Redikop, he did like two or three of these surgeries a day, 400 a year or something or more.
I felt pretty confident in him.
Remember him saying to me, how was your night last night in the morning of the surgery? I'm like, well, don't worry about me. How was your night last night?
No kidding.
What'd you get up to? I hope you stayed home.
Yeah, I probably wasn't drinking tequila.
Well, if he was, he still got through it okay. So.
So after your surgery, you had to obviously stay in the hospital for some time, and then you were released into the world.
Went home. Yeah, you know how it is. I mean, I was in the hospital, I think, for a few days.
Mm-hmm.
Not that long, though. And then went home and hit the couch for a couple months at least.
Yeah.
You know.
And I remember saying, you know, what can we do for Blair, and what can we give him? And and I was trying to look actually back through my emails from this time, but for some reason my emails before 2016 have been deleted by
go figure
Rogers or something. Anyhow, but I remember Arlene saying he can watch like Sarah or Lisa give him just vines, short videos that he can watch for like a short period of time, or maybe like 2 YouTube videos a day. But did you find while you were in that recuperation phase that you were listening to much music, or did you want to listen to music?
I did. Yeah. And there was City and Color was a CD, because I think I had a CD player. I don't know why. I think that was one of the last CDs we bought, right?
Right.
I did listen to music, and I couldn't really concentrate on much for too long, but I did listen to some stuff. I honestly can't recall I'll be honest.
Right.
A lot of it. It's just pretty fuzzy. I mean, I remember things like David Bowie died. I heard that when I was in the hospital, you know?
Because I remember that day I was with our friends, Coralie and Janet.
Right.
In Las Vegas.
Oh, really?
And we were talking, obviously, about you, but I remember the day, that's where we were when David Bowie died.
Yeah.
And we were also talking all about you and how you were doing and trying to get progress reports and stuff like that. So,
Yeah, funny, hey? Yeah.
Yeah.
Those markers that we have.
That's right.
But I did listen to, and for that, I listened to that CD quite a lot. Remember Northern Blues? What a beautiful song. And really, that helped me feel better. Just felt good.
What's the song called? Sorry?
Northern Blues.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So Dallas beautiful. Green.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely developed an appreciation for his voice at that time. Such a great, great range he has.
Yeah.
I love it. I love the falsetto that he can reach so easily through his head voice like that. I'm envious of that.
Do you practice falsetto at all?
No, I don't practice enough of anything, to be honest with you.
But you've got quite a low singing voice,
yeah.
You know, but it doesn't mean that you wouldn't be able to go up and do kind of a wicked falsetto.
And sometimes I go up there for a bit, for a minute, or not a minute, a second or two, you know, for when it works, I mean, I'm envious of the head voice and the transfer from your head voice to falsetto that he can do so well.
Uh-huh.
And Brent can do really well too.
That's right.
Very good at that. So that's why he's been so great with background vocals for me.
Your vocal harmonies are great, you know, together. You sing really well together.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
It's really nice. And you can tell that you like each other. I don't know. There's something you can always hear in that the people who are singing together, they like each other, you know?
So far.
So recovery, you obviously had to work very hard on that. And then do you remember when you first picked up a guitar again, or what led to that, or how that felt?
Oh, man. You know, not really. I mean, I was at home a lot, right?
So,
and I went back to work too quickly. I went back to work in April.
Oh, wow. And this happened in January.
I should have just said, I'm taking a year off and just made it work. You know, like I could have done it. And I, looking back, and I know Arlene is like, yeah, you should have. I think she even told me at the time, just don't, you know, but.
But we all push ourselves too hard.
Well, I just felt like, oh, I got to go make money, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like that's why I love that Beaches song so much.
Which one?
I think it's called Money. I think it's called Great
that
Song.
That is a great song.
So good. They're so clever.
They are.
Yeah. So I don't remember really, but you know, the guitars are laying around my house. So I'm sure it wasn't long before I was just playing chords and fiddling around with stuff. Mm-hmm. And
I mean, obviously this is a very traumatic experience that you had been through, and it's emotional, and some of your motor skills were probably compromised. I'm assuming, but I don't know. Were some of your motor skills compromised? Or
I don't think so.
No.
You know, apparently I did have a small stroke from the aneurysm. There was something that blocked blood flow to part of my brain. I got a little spot on my brain. Oh, yeah. And that's when I say inappropriate things, or that's anything that I do wrong, I blame on that.
On the spot. did you give it a name other than the spot?
No.
It's hard enough to come up with a band name.
That's right. Yeah. Do I have to name everything? A spot on my brain as well. I don't think so. I don't have the brain power for it. Motor skill. I don't really think so. I've never been like, I don't play super fast lead guitar or anything like that. I've always been pretty just basic chords, really. I don't really recall having a problem picking up the guitar again or playing again. Singing, a bit of a different story.
Was it more difficult? Or?
Well, just because it felt like there's pressure in my head, you know, like your head's going to explode sometime on the high notes, you know?
Yeah.
Like, because my head was pretty sensitive for quite a while on the incision area, right? So, and it just sort of felt, you know, like it was, I had like 40 staples or in my head or something. It was crazy.
Wow.
So yeah.
That's gnarly.
Yeah, it was.
That's rock and roll, Blair.
It was totally badass, yeah.
Yeah.
I got bragging rights there. And then we embarked on the Scars and Bars tour with the cover band. Vinyl Edge, Scars and Bars. I don't know why, but yeah, I felt compelled to go out and hit the bars again and play.
That was you and Brent, and by that time, other band members too?
Just Carl Nyquist on drums, yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So we continued on until 2019 or so, 2020, yeah.
And then you're talking about how you're not a fast guitar player, and you're not an Eddie Van Halen wannabe or anything, but you hooked up with Johnny Roper, or John Roper, but you hooked up with John Roper, who I would categorize him as definitely a fast lead guitar style guy, right?
When it's necessary. John is just the perfect guy to play with. Yeah. For any of our original stuff, it's just like he's the perfect
balance
of, or that second guitar is just everything that I'm not doing, he's doing.
Yeah. He can play the chords. He can play the lead lines. He can play it all.
Yeah.
And so your current band, New Driver Band.
Yeah.
Is you, Brent Redberger, John Roper, and Joel Fountain on drums?
Yeah, he's done all the recordings with us. And whenever we played in Vancouver, he's been our Vancouver drummer. So that's kind of where things are right now, I guess. But
yeah.
And when we play on the island, we usually play with Carl Nyquist on drums.
Okay,
so
right.
The drummer is kind of, we got a couple drummers, I guess, right?
That's good to have.
So yeah.
Yeah.
Which is great. And Joel's great in the studio. He's amazing.
Nice.
Just a machine. You know, he's the kind of guy where we go in and the first take is perfect. I remember when we recorded the EP, we'd say, what do you think? Oh, I didn't really like that one. We got to do it again. You know, okay, another perfect take, right? Everyone is, in our ears, perfect. But
nice.
He seems to hear something in there that
he could hear
wants
something.
To change. Yeah, but no, he's amazing.
And you recorded, that was your album, your EP Signs, right?
Yeah.
And that was recorded, when was that, like 2 years ago?
That was in 2020. We started New Year's Day 2020.
And you did it at Mountain View Studios?
Yeah, that's a studio in Nanaimo run by Rick Salt. He's owned and run by Rick Salt, the engineer.
Mm-hmm.
And he's great. He's super proficient in the studio, and it's real, it's a basement, you know, down and dirty kind of
nice
atmosphere. But it's very cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we just threw together six songs that had either been around for a long time or had been working on, and just, mm-hmm. I thought, you know what, it's time to make an album. And I called up Joel and John and asked them if they would do it. And they said yes, which I was really pleased by that.
Yeah. Know?
Because I mean, they're busy guys. They're full-time players in Vancouver.
And getting them to come over the water.
Yeah. Yeah. And to rehearse for it too, you know, we have to.
For sure.
So we went over there for a couple rehearsals and they came into the studio in Nanaimo and just nailed it because they're awesome.
And since that time, you've put out a couple of singles, right? One of them has some original artwork on the front.
Yeah, by Lisa.
By Lisa. That's great.
Yeah.
I love it. And so you've put out three singles?
Just two. Two. Yeah. The EP. Yeah, EP, and then we did Run So Steady, which we recorded in the same sessions. And of course Lisa did that artwork too.
that's the one I was talking about.
You did the one editing there. Yeah, and then also Lisa also did the artwork for New God, our other single. So
yeah,
I'm surrounded by great people, Jane. There's no doubt about it. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be much.
I was going to say, you're a remarkable family. You know, you've got the wonderful Arlene, who's just such a steadfast human being and just a wonderful, warm person. But you've also got these two beautiful daughters who are forging their way kind of in their own creative endeavors. Mm-hmm. Do you think you've played a big part in influencing that? I'm asking with them in the room. They're nodding their heads. Yay.
I think at least I've modeled that they should follow their heart, do what they feel they really want to do with their life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think we all have modeled that. All my friends that, you know, people we hang around with, and it's always been around them. So, yeah.
And do you guys have family jams? Do you have family sing-alongs or anything like that, or dance parties?
Not really. When they were littler, I used to just play guitar when we go camping and stuff like that, you know? And mm-hmm. So they would listen in or maybe follow along, but no, we don't really have family jams. Not yet.
Yeah. Well, still lots of time, right?
Lisa's been playing more guitar lately, so we might get into that a bit more.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to play your song today, which is a beautiful original of yours called Plans.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of unlike the music that you've put out with New Driver Band. I mean, New Driver's influenced by kind of 80s rock and stuff like that, right? Or is it 80s pop rock?
Yeah, kind of.
What would you say your influences are
everywhere,
the stuff you do with the guys?
Everywhere from back, like I've always been a pop rock kind of guy. I don't know why. I've always loved the Cars and bands like that, right?
Yeah.
When other people were listening to Led Zeppelin and stuff, as much as I appreciate those bands and do love them, the music, I really have always loved pop music. For some reason I'm drawn to that. And like I always loved David Bowie and that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
But now, you know, Kings of Leon, that kind of Nothing But Thieves are amazing. They're to me, they're the top.
Hmm.
Their first album especially. But anyhow.
Hmm.
What was the question?
Exactly. The bands that influenced the New Driver Band.
Yeah.
And, you know, the things that kind of, because the song that we're about to play is sort of unlike the stuff you're doing with the full band. It's more like a folk rock.
Which I have that part of me too. I grew up listening to, you know, my mom had like two records, John Denver and Anne Murray, I think.
Classic. Nice.
You know, I love the fingerstyle acoustic. I love like Bob Dylan. Yeah. So that's there too.
And this, I think, really brings out the kind of the warm tones in your voice and stuff like that. So it's going to be great to hear what we do with it. I mean, I've heard the demo of it that you and Brent put together, and it's beautiful. You can really hear your voice and how great your voice is and your singing ability. So it'll be nice to play it with you today.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, shall we do it? Is there anything else you wanted to chit-chat about? Since we haven't talked to each other in person in a while,
I feel like there probably should be. Or you know, I wish I was more interesting for you.
You're great.
I'm saying that,
don't you think he's interesting, guys? Yeah, right. Yeah. So, well, should we get to playing and see what happens?
Let's do it.
Right on, Blair Deptuk. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jane Cowan.
Anytime. Now, here's Plans, written by Blair Deptuk, recorded and mixed by Tim Vesley, performed by Blair, Tim, and me. Enjoy.
I got you and you got me, and the things we don't agree upon don't matter much, you see, 'cause I feel strange when we're taking all apart. And underneath that heaviness is a song that breaks my heart, 'cause we had plans and they got changed. Now we're moving on again, and I don't mind we've been through, 'cause every step I took with you. It may be that I'm no William Prince or Queen, picking all the notes out of the air at my feet. It just seemed to me we gotta work a little harder, but you've been known to hold your own, and I've been known to follow. We had plans and they got changed. Now we're moving on again, and I don't mind what we've been through, 'cause every step I took with you. Do you remember the time I just about lost my mind? You were there to hold me down, somewhere in between the comfort and the scene. I saw all the beauty in my life, 'cause we had plans and they got changed. Now we're moving on again, and I don't mind what we've been through, 'cause every step I took with you. 'Cause we had plans and they got changed. Now we're moving on again, and I don't mind what we've been through, 'cause every step I took with you. Every step I took with you.
Thanks for listening, everyone. By the way, if you want to check out more Music Buddies sessions, we've started releasing them as singles for you to stream or download. So please visit our Music Buddy Bandcamp page to see which songs are available. That's musicbuddy.bandcamp.com. And you can also find the individual releases on the artists' online profiles like Spotify, Apple, etc. Thanks again for being here. Music Buddy is brought to you by Morning Run Productions and is produced and edited by me, Jane Gowan. Please follow us on social media and comment and rate wherever you get your podcasts. I'll be back in 3 weeks with another episode. Until then, keep dodging those curveballs.